Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And everybody, it is Sports Daily here on a Wednesday. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. We're glad to be with you on this Wednesday. Thanks to Shreya Salata for hopping on. If you missed anything about the wild and crazy week it's been for Kansas athletics, both football and basketball, you can go back and listen to that anytime on the Odyssey app. You can also watch it back on YouTube, on X, on Facebook, 12 News Connected, all the different ways people take in the show. Thanks to everybody for listening to our thousands and thousands, we're told, of podcast listeners, wherever it is that you are listening. We appreciate that. Thanks for downloading and listening to the program that way as well. Paul Mills coming up this hour a little bit later. Your chance to win some PBR tickets coming up this hour a little later. Until then, the IHOP hotline's open for you at 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try the decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. And I want to say thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a part of the show here. They've got all kinds of events coming up. They got a big Santa brunch coming up there. They're always great to our kids when we go to those things, but Santa will be there. They got food. You can get some pictures taken. They've got Christmas events coming up, New Year's events, all kinds of things on the social side of a membership, which, to be quite honest, is more affordable if you're not a golfer. You can use the great pool and all these other things. Give Crestview a call. Ask them about those memberships. Tommy and I are both over there. We both love it. Families both love it. But we appreciate their support of the program. Tell them we sent you. All right, Paul. Get to a couple of comments from our conversation with Shreya Salata. Rick first says, how can they care? Now, this would be in regards to all the new players when we're talking about going to Missouri and that heated rivalry. He says they're all brand new to the team. Ken counters in that conversation happening on YouTube right now, saying, I think the opposite, Rick. They come in to be saviors with big checks, a lot of pressure to produce for a coach that wants things done right all the time. So here would be my sort of take with, do players, you know, immediately care about big rivalries when they transfer in? I'd say this. If we can all remember way back, Paul, to when we were in college, did you care about rivalries when you were a freshman on campus?
Well, yeah, I think I did.
You're fed that history and that information the second you walk on campus.
Sure.
These guys have been a part of the roster, and the second they found out they were going to Missouri, they've had classmates, they've had teachers, they've had fans telling them, oh, you got to go to Missouri. And be, if they don't care, then they've never cared, and I don't believe that that's the case. I do think you can acclimate to rivalries right away because you're immersed in it 24/7 when you're on a college campus. We immediately step onto a college campus and we get rivalries. And, you know, look, it's different than, you know, a kid from Kansas who understands the rivalry and has been around it their whole lives. I get that. But most of these players that come in and play in these rivalries, they walk in from other states. They don't know anything about that. And so, yeah, I think they can get up for it. You know, in a big way. So I think that the motivation is fine. I think they've got to start playing better. And I think that we're going to learn a whole lot about Kansas basketball this year in what happens this week, Paul, based on what happened last week, right? They get a week of no games. Like, it's all practice time for Bill Self. They're going to learn something whether they like it or not this week, right? Yeah. It's going to be a tough week.
Yeah, to the baseline. I think that's going to be uttered a couple of times.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so. It'll be good. It'll be fine. I think they're going to be okay. All right, Paul, I want to talk about this baseball funny money being thrown around here a little
funny
bit.
Funny money.
I ran these numbers yesterday, and Juan Soto gets $750 million.
That's right. You didn't stutter,
in
did
a 15-year deal. We're going to get to a point where a player is worth $1 billion. They're going to get a $1 billion contract, right? What franchises were worth 10 years ago. If that's the market, I sort of get it. It kind of is. I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's going to work out for the Mets. I think that's too aggressive. I think that's too far ahead of what one player does in baseball. You know, I think if we're trying to draw equivalencies, you can justify quarterbacks in football making that much more than their peers as a winning formula. I don't know that you can in baseball. Now, the Mets are going to follow this up and spend even more money, so we'll see. And we saw the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series last year. Okay, so, you know, I get it. But we know, Paul, that it is not equivalent to spending the most money wins the World Series. It just doesn't. Now, you got to spend, but you don't have to spend the most. And the question becomes, is Juan Soto $70 million a year more valuable than, you know, $322 million a year players? Mm. That's going to be interesting to see how that market plays out. I'll be curious on this one. He's an incredible player, one of the great young players in the game, maybe the best player, at least of a generation, to ever truly hit free agency like this. So I get it, right? Shohei was last year, kind of the same thing. But when you put it up next to Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract, Paul, at 11 years and $285 million or whatever it is, And they're not directly equivalent. I get it. Soto was a true free agent, and Bobby Witt Jr. had 4 years of control when he signed his deal. But they're both going to have the opportunity to opt out at about the same time. I think Bobby Witt Jr.'s is in 2031, and Juan Soto's is in 2030, or vice versa. But when I look at those two deals side by side, the Royals, if Bobby Witt Jr. stays healthy and the trajectory stays the same, this will go down as one of the better contracts of all time. Even if it only takes him to the opt-out, which it almost certainly will. Both of these players are probably going to opt out of their deals. But that means they got, I'd say, the 3 or 4 extra years of Bobby Witt Jr. added onto the control they have at that price tag for what'll be about, you know, $75 to $90 million. This can be a steal, Paul. It's going to be a steal.
Well, you know, and the thing that kind of gets me to a certain extent is that, boy, I'll tell you what, do you remember it wasn't that long ago we were shaking our head, $700 million for Otani. Now, that was deferred for what, 10 years? Does that sound right? I think that's right. A lot of that money, most of that money, in fact, I think all of the $700 million was deferred for 10 years. I think I'm correct on that, right, Jacob? I'm pretty sure. But with that being
said, he deferred a bunch to make it better for the Dodgers.
To make it better.
Soto did not do that.
He did not do that. See, that's what blows my mind is that this is money. I mean, this is all money that's going to be paid starting tomorrow. Well, starting whenever the contract's signed. And that's going to take place no matter what, and it's going to start, and it's going to start immediately. But what this is doing, and we've seen it for, I don't know, several years now, you know, average players making unbelievable amounts of money. And it makes me wonder, you look at the average NFL football player, and I wonder what he's thinking. He sees NBA and what those guys are making. Some of those guys are signing for unbelievable, you know, $200,000-$300,000 over the course of X amount of years. And he sees all of his fellow football players. You know, you can be a pretty good lineman, offensive lineman, and you're only going to make $5-6 million a year. And I think to myself, you know, $700 million, where does this stop? Where does this end? I mean, you're right. I hadn't really thought of it this way, but you made a comment just a while ago, and you said, when's the first $1 billion contract coming? Well, we would have thought to ourselves, 5 years ago, $1 billion contract, that's laughable. You know, that's hilarious. But I'm telling you right now, I think it could be in the next couple, 2 to 3 years. You're going to
have it'll be in the next decade. I don't know how quickly it'll happen because we're talking about.
But won't it?
We're talking about in Ohtani and Soto, two of the best players of the last 20 years.
Right.
Right. Like it's not, they're not coming around every year, the players of that caliber. So here's what the Royals got. And remember what Soto is getting. Bobby Witt Jr. will almost certainly opt out of his deal in the year 2031. The way I read it, he gets player options, Paul, in 2031, 32, 33, and 34. And then the club options kick in 35, 36, 37. I would be stunned if he doesn't, if he's healthy, if he doesn't opt out after 2031. Doesn't mean the Royals can't re-sign him. It just means he's going to take that option because the market's going to be too high, right? Look at what Soto just made. He might be your billion-dollar player when that time comes. So, anywho, before that, though, the Royals have him until he's 30 years old, until he's 31 years old, truly. In that, so what they've done is they bought out his arbitration years. So the Royals would have been able to keep him, if they didn't do the deal last year, they would have been able to keep him essentially through 2027. So they'd have him for 3 more years. What they did through this contract was guarantee his services through 3 more years, okay, till he's age 30, through his age 30 season in 2030. So that's what they did with their deal. What did that cost them? Well, in those 3 years, essentially what they've done is give him a 3-year, $100 million deal. Now, in the current economics of baseball, for Bobby Witt Jr., who would have absolutely been an MVP, if not for an historic season by Aaron Judge last year, had a higher WAR, had a better season than Juan Soto just had, what do you think it would have cost them for a 3-year deal on the open market for Bobby Witt Jr.? 210, probably $250 million starts the bidding for a 3-year deal for him.
I was going to say they're going to get it. I was going to say 350.
I mean, it could be at that point by the time that time comes. I don't think it'll be, I don't think it's quite that high, but they're getting him for 3 years and $100 million. That's at least half of the open market value for him. At least half, probably even less. And so I look at that deal and I just like it. It takes cojones to do that kind of a deal. Don't get me wrong. Like you're taking a lot of risk to do one of those kinds of deals before you have to. And before a player hits free agency, so many things can change and happen. But if all the things work out and he continues on this pace, I mean, my goodness, it is going to be an incredible steal for the Royals to be able to do that. And when you look at the overall franchise and the reality of their financial situation, it was a brilliant move. And I think a brilliant risk to take for the Royals when they took it. I applaud them for it, and it will allow them to be successful. Now, it emphasizes the urgency on these next 6 or 7 years for sure. And this is the first time they've done it. They did this with Salvador Perez a long, long time ago. It's kind of the same thing. They gamble on a young player with high upside, and they end up with a tremendous deal. Just well done. I cannot stop thinking about that when I see this Soto contract. How frugal and fortunate and potentially fortuitous it is that the Royals got this deal done with Bobby Witt Jr. last year when they got it done.
Wow. It's hard to imagine the Royals. I mean, it's hard to imagine following the Royals without Bobby Witt Jr. on that roster, isn't it? I mean, it would almost be like if Salvi wasn't there. I mean, and Salvi's getting up to that age where, how long does he have? We're going to start probably seeing him used a little less in more key positions and maybe even other positions, maybe just batting. But, I mean, you talk about the two keys to the kingdom right now. It's Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvi.
Absolutely. And hopefully they surround him with talent. Maybe today we'll get into that. If not, we'll get into it another day. There's a lot of movement in Major League Baseball. The Royals made their big trade, but we certainly don't think they're done. We'll kind of look at what options are out there potentially for them. We can do that when we come back. We've got Paul Mills coming up bottom of the hour. So we'll have a quick segment for you next. So stay tuned there. On the way out, let's do our last giveaway, PBR tickets. Professional Bull Riders coming to Wichita. It's the PBR Unleash the Beast Tour this Friday night at Interest Bank Arena. Giving you a chance at a pair of tickets, text the keyword BEAST to the short code 20357. Professional Bull Riding action here in Wichita on Friday night. Again, text 20357. The code word is BEAST. Good luck, everybody. We're coming back more Sports Daily right after this. All right, Paul, you're in on this Brett Favre drama with Mark Gastineau. Favre, you might recall, many say took a dive on Michael Strahan's record-setting sack.
Right.
Okay. This will probably be interesting, but I would also tell you this. TJ Watt tied that record later. Sorry, broke the record. Again, so it would still be broken. The record would not still be standing, right? TJ Watt tied Michael Strahan for it. So that would have beat Gastineau anyway.
Well, but the point is that it's amazing how this has happened. And by the way, this is all still new. Mark Gastineau is still living in a world where his record is real. Because there's also these things about, well, you know, in old football that Mark Gastineau was playing, which by the way was 20 some years ago, it's different. I mean, you know, it's different the way football is played. It would be expected that somebody would get more sacks because, you know, guys are widened out and they're rush specialists and that kind of. I get that and I understand that. But what is so fascinating about this is living in a world where records in sports dominate your life. And for Mark Gastineau, this is dominating his life. The fact that this record had been stolen for him for 20 plus years bothered him a lot. And I find that fascinating because, and the reason I say that is because I remember many years ago, we were doing an interview with Cleo Littleton, the greatest player of all time. Can I say that? The greatest player of all time in Wichita State basketball history.
And
I don't mean, to, you know, disrespect, you know, some of the greats, you know, the Livingstons and all the, I mean, I really don't mean to do that, but he's the highest scorer in history of Wichita State, number one in scoring. And I remember we were interviewing, I think Bruce Hurdle and I were interviewing him back in the day, and he made a comment, and I asked him a question, how much will you be bothered when your record is broken? What bother you? And he says, I can't wait for my record to be broke. Then I don't have the burden of people asking me about my record. I can't wait for it to be broke. Somebody's going to break it, and it'll be fine with me, and it'll get this burden off of my back. And I'll never forget that. And Mark Gastineau has gone the other way. It's bothered him that he has lost his record, and he lost it in a fashion, by the way, we should point out, that Brett Favre took a dive for Michael Strahan to break the record by a half a sack. And by the way, this is going to be a 30-30 on ESPN this coming Friday night.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But Paul, and Rick asked, did Watt do it in 16 or 17 games? Rick Watt did it in 15 games. He had 22 and a half sacks back in 2021 in 15 games. Jared Allen and Justin Houston have also reached 22 sacks, which is what Gastineau had. So now there are five players at that threshold. None of them can, you know, and I know people say, well, wait a minute, there's 17 games. None of these have anything to do with 17 games. Strahan had it in 16. Gastineau had it in 16. TJ Watt tied Strahan's record now in 15. Jared Allen and Justin Houston both did 22 in 16 games. So it's just weird to me to go back now. Like, they should have made this documentary in 2000, you know, 4 or 5, not 25 years later, after so many players have now reached this threshold, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this is going to be a good look for Gastineau.
No. Oh, no. No, you're right there.
It's going to be like to still hold on to it after the record's been broken so many tied, I should say, or achieved so many times now. I'm just like, and I'm no Brett Favre fan. I didn't like Brett Favre when he was playing. I certainly don't like Brett Favre with everything else that's been happening now. But like, an older quarterback not getting smashed on a bootleg play in a meaningless game? Like, I don't know. Come on.
And I really don't know. And I know a lot of former athletes. I know, you do, too. You know tons of them. I don't know anybody that still lives in the past. It's all gone. It's over. The only thing that I live in the past for is in the fifth grade, Anita Swain broke my heart. That's the only thing I'm still in the past about.
Anita Swain, heartbreaker.
A heartbreaker. I'll never forget that.
I think that explains some things. We're going to have to get signed up for some therapy or something to get.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. Jiminy Christmas.
Man, that is tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. No, I probably won't go out looking for this one. It'll just make me like a little uncomfortable, I think. Like, ooh, this is kind of sad. Right? Like, come on. We've been there five times. Since Gastineau had 22 sacks. We've been there five times now. It's a little late for that.
I found it fascinating.
I will say it's interesting. It's just not something I'm going to go after. I don't think. We'll see. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're expecting here in just a few minutes, Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach. Been a few weeks since we've talked to him. Cannot wait to talk to him. About what they've got coming up. Shockers are off to a great start. The metrics are agreeing with that. We'll get into it all when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily on a Wednesday, on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Joining us on the IHOP hotline is Wichita State men's basketball coach Paul Mills. We can't see him, but we're going to pretend Paul Mills is wearing a Hawaiian shirt to celebrate with us. Coach, you got Jacob Albrocht and Paul Savage here. Happy to be with you again. Thanks for stopping by today.
You bet, Jacob. Paul, I can assure you I do not have on a Hawaiian shirt, given the fact it's below freezing.
You could have humored us and lied, but that's okay. That's all right. Coach, you guys are getting ready for a trip to Chicago. A little colder there. Saturday game against DePaul. Now, the net is out. We don't have quad ones or any of those rankings out, but the net rankings are out. And I'm looking at Wichita State right now at 78. I'm looking at DePaul out of the Big East right now at 82. You've probably have a much better grasp of this than we do, but if they're at 82 now and this is a true road game, this is a world where this game could get into that quad one, certainly quad two territory as a true road game, right? This could become a pretty impactful and meaningful game for you guys when resumes are being put together later in the year.
You just never know. This stuff obviously changes quite a bit over the course of the next 3.5 months before we ever get to Selection Sunday. So, you know, it's based on what happens at the year. It's not a snapshot. You know, I try to warn people, don't fall into the Vegas trap of thinking a line is the indicator of what a team should win by. And, you know, hey, you should win by whatever, 22 points. And, hey, you're good if you do and you're bad if you don't. You know, that kind of mental approach will actually be pretty stifling for you in regards to how you view a basketball game, especially from my perspective. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm not aware of the lines, but to be honest with you, I do my darndest to make sure I don't even look at them.
Yeah,
so I'm aware of net. I would hope that I know this stuff pretty well. It was at a little after 5 this morning that I was staring at it. So it is one of those things that you need to find a way to go 1-0, and regardless of who the opponent is and what quadrant they may be in, there's a way to win every game, and we need to make sure from a schematic, a flow, and a personnel standpoint, we check all three boxes.
It's just, you know, as we look at it and we look at the conference, it appears right now that these metrics, and again, it's early, but, you know, Memphis and North Texas and you guys are catching a little love out of the American. And I think that's a good thing, you know, for the rest of the league. It means you guys are going to have a lot of quality games here. You'll have this one. You'll have K-State. You'll have those two games against each one of those opponents. I think for us on the outside, we're just trying to imagine all the potential futures here. And I think that through the schedule you guys have played and what you still have coming up, there are some advantages in this schedule, and I think it'll do you guys favors. Can you even look, you, not, I know not the players, but can you even begin at this point, you mentioned going 1-0, to think about those sorts of things? I would imagine all the focus is on beating DePaul, as you've said, but, you know, these things do matter later in the year.
Yeah, you actually think about this stuff quite a bit in July, to be honest with you. I mean, it's June and July when you're doing this. So you're on the phone with a number of people who are really good at their job at prognosticating what the field will look like. And, you know, you have Joe Lenardi on speed dial, and I talk way more to him in June than I do in March. And I talked to him in March, especially when teams I've been able to coach have gone on to the NCAA tournament. But this is definitely something you think quite a bit about, like days. And, I mean, we're talking close to 250 hours. But this is all done in June. It's not done right now.
You know, Coach, you're 8-1. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's something to be proud of with a really good group of kids. I want to ask you just real quick, though, how worthwhile is your leadership, your seniors, the what your upperclassmen are bringing to the success of Wichita State? The Ballards, the Bells, the Beverlys, the Washingtons, the Hills, all these guys are basically seniors. I think there's one junior in the bunch. You've got so much great leadership. How does that change the dynamic of this team, and what does that mean to this team, and to a point where you're 8-1? 8-1, Coach.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're top 25 in the country in Division I experience, so it definitely helps to have experience. So to have guys, they've been around the block, they understand the ebbs and flows of a game. They don't just fall into the trap of, man, this four-minute segment didn't go well, and lack a vision to think about the other nine. So whatever the segments are, I think when you have experienced players, they understand the things that need to get done, and they don't go with the ebbs and flows of a game. They don't get too high. They don't get too low. But it's also easier to make some adjustments, you know, and they happen a lot quicker. But I will tell you that you can be an older team, in my opinion, and you can be a younger team. But in my opinion, you win with men. And the way that you win with men is they understand the responsibilities. Men know how to handle responsibilities. And, you know, I know 50-year-old children, and I know 15-year-old grown-ups, and who understand the responsibilities that they need to take. I will tell you, we've got a group that's very responsible. They hear the message, but again, just because you hear the message doesn't necessarily mean there's an adaptation. And what's happened with this group is, listen, we need to get greater clarity on this particular area that needs to get fixed. And what you gauge is, are we adjusting? Are we adapting? And to this group's credit, they're wonderful. Love them. You know, I don't like this team. I love this team, and really think we have a chance to do something special. But it's because of who they are as people.
You love them either way, but how much more do you like them? Seeing the way that they responded though after the Florida game. There's so much momentum in Florida, but then you guys have a big response last week. I imagine that makes you like them a little more, right?
Yeah, that's a great point, simply because you do love every single player that you coach, and you want to help them, but you don't like every single player that you coach. So I can say I really like this basketball team. I've told anybody who'll listen way back in June that really like this particular group. You know, one, I don't want to discredit Florida because they're really good. So we were not ready for that at that particular time, given where we were. We just hadn't worked on enough with Quincy and Mate out there together, to be honest with you. We hadn't worked on it at all other than 8 a.m. earlier that morning during a walkthrough for a 3:30 tip. So tried to walk through some things in order to counter, just given the fact that we may see it. But, you know, that particular game, that was Paul Mills' fault 1,000,000%. losing Ronnie a week or two earlier. We just hadn't made the adjustments necessary because we hadn't been faced with that kind of size. So, you know, we'll be better off if we face that kind of circumstance again. But going back to this week, I didn't expect anything other than the right response. I mean, that those are games, especially during the month of November. I've always considered a learning and a growth month. And, like, you're learning about your team. You're learning who we are, learning what we do well, learning what we need to stay away from. But you're also growing during that time frame. And this month is more of a refinement month, a precision month. You got to get a lot tighter with your stuff. And we showed a lot more fight on Saturday than what we even did on Wednesday and then the previous Friday.
You know, Coach, we're just around the corner from AAC play. It's going to be here before you know it. You got three games and another exhibition. Important games, by the way, but nevertheless,
absolutely
down to three games and an exhibition. And you look at the American Conference, you know, I don't know that we've asked you lately about where do you think this league is headed? Because, you know, you got Wichita State, which is going to be, I think, very much in contention for a championship. But you got Memphis, you got East Carolina, you got Rice in North Texas. I mean, some of these teams are all capable of stepping up and beating anybody in this league on any given night, whether it's Wichita State or whether it's Tulsa, which isn't very good at this point right now. But this league is going to be balanced. It's going to be tough. How do you see this league? Is there any team in this league that you go, you know, these guys are going to be okay? These guys are going to be pretty good.
Well, I would say that about everybody, to be honest with you. I am the worst at paying attention to anybody not named Wichita State. Like, it is all I eat, sleep, drink. This is my job, is to make sure I know this team better than anybody else who is walking on the planet. And so I spend so much time focused on this. I'd be lying if I said I didn't pay attention and look at scores and kind of aware of some of the things that's going on. I'm aware of, you know, Memphis beating UConn and then turning around and beating Michigan State. So, you know, I'm aware of how good North Texas is because we were both in Florida together and was aware of their win versus Minnesota. But to be honest with you, I get so locked in on what we're trying to do and that day's practice and that day's meetings that I do not do a good job of kind of gauging the conference. I take a peripheral view, but I spend less than 2 minutes paying attention to what occurs with anybody else going on in the country, and then I probably spend another 3 minutes on our league. But that's a total of 5 minutes of my day. I don't spend any more time on it than that.
Fair enough.
Coach, I want to talk about this group on the court a little bit. Ronnie DeGray will be out for a little while longer here. That's been something that I never would have really seen how pivotal his role appears to be on this team before the season, like not one of the, but it sure feels that way now. So what have you felt like the best way to adjusting to his size and physicality has been and could be down the road until you guys are able to get him back?
Yeah, you have a guy who's just so versatile. Like, I mean, honestly, he can guard 1 through 5. And, you know, if there's a 5 that, you know, maybe bigger, maybe a 7-footer, physically he can handle that. And then he can also guard point guards. He can guard shifty guys. So to be able to lose a guy of that caliber, your leading rebounder, a double-digit scorer, you know, it's going to take a hit. What I don't think people understand is just how many mistakes he was covering up for others, because he's super mobile given his size and again, his versatility to defend multiple people on the court. So it has. We've tried not to change too much. We've inserted, you know, Joy and has come in. We've played Corey Washington a little bit longer than we did previously. But I think that level of experience that Ronnie brings is what we're really missing, because Ronnie sees things in the game sometimes. And again, it's different from sitting in a seat or even viewing it on the sideline. The view when you're standing out there on the court to be able to call out coverages be from the bottom up about what's occurring. That stuff kind of comes with experience and puts people on alert. And that's one of the areas that we're missing. And then his ability to offensive rebound is pretty unique. I mean, he's actually sealed us a number of opportunities to win games during his time here, just with his offensive rebounding alone. So that, well, he's definitely missed. I mean, if you look at it, he was rebounding 15% of the offensive boards available. And if you go look at that, that's actually top 10 in the country. So I think from the perspective of what he's bringing to the table and what we're missing, it's on both ends of the court.
It's interesting. And Corey Washington, I would have thought of him, you know, kind of as a guy. I know he's got size, but he's been a good rebounder for you guys since Harlan's been out. Is his role developed? Did you always know that was there? And, you know, how much more could he grow into playing that sort of a position for you guys?
Yeah, you know, I was actually talking with an NBA team, and this was about 6 weeks ago, 2 months, and they were just asking, tell us who you have. And I was like, I got a guy you need to keep on your radar. And you know what? Been very impressed with Corey since he came here. The fact that he's able to shoot and I know it's not a high volume of shots, but, I mean, to shoot 41% from three, and his ability to get to the free throw line at the rate he does, and he converts those at 75%. And he knows one way to play, and that's just all out. I mean, he leads us in loose balls and the ability to retrieve them. So really excited about Corey, excited about the growth that he's made. And the more and more experience I believe that he gets at this level, he has no back down to him. So he possesses the intangibles that you need. And I'm just telling you, this kid really has a chance because he's doing all the things necessary in order to give himself a chance.
One final one for you here, Coach. Paul Mills joining us, and we appreciate the visit here. Quincy Ballard was the other part of that Beverly injury that really piqued my interest, because he's, in his time at Wichita State, has not been a big minutes guy. But, man, since that injury, 30, 27, 25, 25, he's staying out of foul trouble. He's staying on the floor. That's got to be huge to see him be able to do that for you guys while you're a little thinner at that, you know, down low there.
Yeah, and you know what? If you look at it, he's gotten better every year, and he's progressing. I mean, you're talking about a guy who shot 29% his freshman year, then went to 33, then went to 50. He was a 59% free throw shooter last year, and he's a 75% free throw shooter now. And his offensive efficiency is through the roof because he just takes quality shots. His impact defensively is well known, but I mean, he's grabbing 21% of defensive glass. So every shot the other team puts up, he's grabbing one out of every five, which is really impressive. So I mean, he's doing it on both ends. He's a problem on offense. He's a problem on defense for the opponents. So he's grown. He's continued to mature. And I'm just telling you, in 6 weeks, he's going to be better than what he is now because his approach is the right way.
I love it. And he's staying on the floor, which I know means a ton. You guys get the trip to DePaul. You'll hear that game over on KEYN Saturday noon. Then it's three straight home games, Kansas City, Kansas State, Friends, lots of chances to go see the Shockers before they begin conference play next month on January 3rd. Coach, we appreciate a few minutes here with us. We'll do this again soon. Safe travels to DePaul, and good luck against what we think looks like a quality opponent there.
Jacob, Paul, if I don't talk to you before, happy holidays, and appreciate all you guys do. Thank you.
Same to you, Coach.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone out there, by the way. We're getting into that time of the year. Paul Mills, always good stuff, always really fresh and honest stuff. Yeah, Quincy Ballard, man, Paul, he's on the floor.
Oh, man.
As a 7'1" big guy like that on both ends, bringing it.
Yeah.
Playing 25, 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
That's been,
we didn't
it's
even,
been awesome.
We didn't
to
even
watch
bring up
last
18
weeks.
Blocks. I mean, he's got 18 blocks.
Well,
on
I mean,
his
yeah, that's
on.
What he brings to the table.
He's
like
playing in the paint, isn't he?
They have never needed him more with DeGray going down. So that's been really good to see. Again, you'll hear that game this weekend. Should be fun. We've sensed it for a while, Paul. Nothing's changed. The optimism right now around this particular group is high.
It's moving.
And they sure look like they're going to be a team that'll be able to compete in the American.
Yeah, I'm buying in. Yeah.
Yeah, I am too. And I hope they get to Gray back quickly, because I'd love to see him play a whole bunch of those AAC games. But this will be a good test this weekend. A true road game against a good team. Should be a fun environment. Should be a, you know, hostile environment, those sorts of things. If you missed anything there with Paul Mills, you can always go back and listen to that interview on the Odyssey app. That's an easy way to do it. Just download the show, get it, search KFH. You can take the show with you as a podcast, listen to anything. We had Tree Eslada in the first hour talking about KU football, KU basketball as well. It's all available there for you. Thanks, everybody, for doing that. We've got one more segment here. We'll get you apprised of what's happening tonight on the network. It's been a fun day, Paul. Been a real fast moving, good stuff getting through, ripping through. We got a lot accomplished today.
I think we did. And of course,
I think, you know,
Hawaiian shirts have a lot to do with that. I mean, come on now. Come on, give credit where credit's due. It's these right here, baby.
Yeah, we're starting trends, fashion trends, all these
no
things.
Question. Yeah.
We're working hard over here for you. All right, we're going to take that final break. When we come back, we'll do a little house cleaning, get all caught up, get you wrapped up for this Wednesday edition of Sports Daily.